All right. Well, good evening. Good to see y'all here. And what are we on? Does it sound good? Okay. Want to start out with singing "There Is No Other Name." Welcome to the people online also. Yes, yes. Yeah. Welcome people online and offline. There is no other name by which men can be saved. There is no other name under heaven. There is rest for my soul, and the wounded made whole, and the captive set free and forgiven. There is no other name by which men can be saved. There is no other name under heaven. There is rest for my soul, and the wounded made whole, and the captive set free and forgiven. Such love as I have ever known, I found in the grace that flows. This is why my heart and soul and tongue confess. There is no other name by which men can be saved. There is no other name under heaven. There is rest for my soul, and the wounded made whole, and the captive set free and forgiven. Such love as I have ever known, I found in the grace that flowed to me. In my unrighteousness, this is why my heart and soul and tongue can. There is no other name by which men can be saved. There is no other name under heaven. There is rest for my soul, and the wounded made whole, and the captive set free and forgiven. There is no other name by which men can be saved. There is no other name under heaven. There is rest for my soul, and the wounded made whole, and the captive set free and forgiven. Thank you, Jesus.
Today, and there's just one thing that I want to say. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For of praise. With an outstretched arm, I will bless your name. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For all you've done in my life, you took my darkness and gave me your light. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You took my sin and my shame. You took my sickness and healed all my pain. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. With a grateful heart, with a song of praise, with an outstretched arm, I will bless your name and thank you. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. In all of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hand. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
Amen.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Anyone pick a hymn? Pick a hymn? Anybody got a hymn in mind that they want to pick? A title or a page number or a tune or a lyric? I'll fly away. All right. 772, let's try it. That's when we all get to heaven. 705, Miss Vicky said. Let me turn over to 705. It is well with my soul in 705. I'll just look in the index. Yeah. We sang it plenty of times. 779, all right. I'll turn over from the index then. 779. We were close. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by. I'll fly away. When the shadows of this life have gone, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars has flown, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by. I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by. I'll fly away. Amen.
Okay, amen. Well, thanks for the good singing. And welcome to a very cold evening. And those of you with us online, good to have you with us this evening. And those visiting with us, we have Frank here tonight, so amen. Praise the Lord for that. All right. Now, is it 70 degrees in here? Is that what I got? Okay. All right. Well, very good. Amen. Y'all have any praises or testimonies? Anything? Praises, testimonies. Anybody? Happy New Year. It was a good New Year. Amen. What else? Yeah, thank you for the word, Lord. Amen. Praise Him for His word. What else? Other praises. Yeah. Answer to prayers? Okay. Praise Him for answered prayers. Yeah. Yeah, the sun was shining. It was still cold. Praise Him for the sunshine. Yeah. Amen. All right. Anybody have a specific scripture they want to share, encouraging word of scripture, something that's touched them over the last, what you got there, Miss Bicky? 2016. Yeah. Hebrews 10. 24 and 25. Amen. All right. That's good. Anybody else? Yeah, John in the back. Okay. Amen. Luke chapter 2, verse 30. Amen. Simeon. Yeah, yeah. Amen. Frank, you got one?
Well, I don't know exactly how to fit in here with this, but I will try.
All right.
You're talking about praising.
Yeah.
I finished school in North Mississippi a long time ago.
Uh-huh.
I became friends with a young lady there in my class. We went through 12 years together.
Yeah.
Well, we graduated together.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, she has called me and we've corresponded briefly a few times about this and the other.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Right. Okay. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Well, Betty, I really hate to hear that. She said, yes, I understand. She said, I know you. I know how you think. And I want to call you and share this with you.
Yeah.
Even though it's egregious thing, I felt like I needed someone out there to reach out to and talk to about this. I said, well, here I am. Send me.
Yeah.
So we talked a little bit. And as it went on, she started explaining about her life and her children and all that. I knew a little bit about her family, not a whole lot. She said, well, Frank,
yeah.
Says, if this is what God has called me to do, that's okay. And then she told me, she says, my two children are devout Christians. And she says, they have two children each. My four grandchildren are devout Christians. I said, Betty, that's a miraculous thing.
Yeah, God amen. Himself. Yeah.
One lady has two that has four, and they're all Christians.
Yeah. Yeah.
She says, I'm not afraid to die. I know the God of heaven, and I know that He will take care of me wherever I am and whatever I'm doing. And she says, I stand firm in the
Amen. That's a good word. Yeah. No, that's good. I asked for it. That's good. Betty is saved. Betty has lung cancer, and Betty's two sons and grandkids are saved. Yeah, a devout Christians. Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, that really is amazing. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Right. And you went to school with Betty in Mississippi. Have mercy. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Frank. Amen. Well, we'll put Betty on the prayer list. Pray for her lung cancer. Maybe God would touch her and heal her. We know that Betty would give the Lord praise and glory for being healed. Other prayer requests. What else? What else? What else? Yeah, John? Marshall family, thank you, sir. Peggy Murray, Rachel Adams, all right, got those, what else? Marco Barnes, Brother Marco's got COVID, those people in, what is it, Boulder, Colorado, that lost their homes to fire? Bunch of them. Bunch of people, man. Victims, Colorado fire. All right, what else? Alita, pray for Alita's back. God would continue to heal that back from surgery. Miss Alita, we'll lift her up. What else? What else? Anything on the live stream coming up there? No prayer needs on the live stream? All right. Very good. Still got 13, 9 with us? All right. Way to go, 9 folks. Something like that. Amen. Anything else? Prayer needs? Is that it, that all? Unspoken? All right, all right. Amen. Shall we pray? Bobby, you got one? Sharon, how's Sharon doing? All right, foot healing up? Started therapy yet? No. Foot. Okay. Amen. Okay. And I did hear that Die Hard is a Christmas movie. Die Hard. Who knew? That's a Facebook thing. Sharon was wanting to know about if Die Hard is a Christmas movie. Some people think it is. Yeah. I don't watch it, but some people like Die Hard. Bruce Willis. I think he's the first one. Yeah. Yeah. For Chuck's birthday. Very good. 34th, what is it? What's that old black and white movie? Big Christmas movie? It's A Wonderful Life. That's the one. That's the one I need to see. Jimmy Stewart, amen. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Okay, Jeff's got COVID. Jeff, COVID. All right, so he's got COVID. Brother Marco's got COVID. That's their son, Jeff McCormick, with COVID. All right, we lift up Jeff McCormick with COVID. What else? Anything else? All right, we got it good. Let's go. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening, Lord. We praise you and thank you for our salvation. We thank you, Lord, that we have a warm spot to meet tonight, to huddle up around the bread of life and get in the Word a little bit tonight. Lord, we praise you and thank you for that. We come to you tonight, Lord. Our hearts are filled with praise. We praise you for another year. Lord, thank you that we made it through. And, Lord, we're looking forward to what you have in store for us in 2022. We pray that the balance of 2022 would find us in your word and would find us in the center of your will. And, Lord, we would keep short sin accounts in 2022. Lord, we would find ourselves often praying to you and daily in your word, Lord, as we approach this rest of this 2022, God. We're thankful for your word. Lord, we're thankful for answered prayers in 2021. And Lord, we're thankful for your beautiful sunshine as you shine it down on us. We're thankful for the warmth it brings. And Lord, as we go through our little bit of winter down here in Southeast Texas, I pray that you keep us safe in the midst of the cold. And we're looking forward to the warmth coming here in a couple of days. Lord, we're thankful for Betty, and we're thankful for Betty's testimony. And Lord, as we think about Betty's health and this diagnosis of lung cancer that she has, we pray that you might touch her body, that you might bring healing to her, Lord. We know, based on what Frank has shared with us tonight, that Betty would certainly give you the praise and the glory and the honor for her healing. And so, Lord, we just lift Betty up to you tonight. Pray that you might touch her body, bring healing to her. We lift up the Murray family and the loss of Marshall. We pray for Peggy. We pray for her two sons. We pray for their extended family, Lord. Pray for friends and family as they get ready to commute in, some from North Carolina, some from other parts of the country. Lord, we just pray that the memorial for Marshall would celebrate his salvation, would celebrate his life, and that, Lord, in the midst of that service, we would just be able to point people to the gospel, point people to Jesus, point people to the Word of God, point people to be Christ to one another as they go through the grieving process. And Lord, we just pray that you would see that family through in this time of loss. We lift up Rachel Adams and the Adams family, Lord, and the loss of Rachel's mother. And Lord, we pray as they go through that Catholic service, we pray that you might comfort them and help them and hold them up during this difficult time of loss. We lift up Marco and Jeff to you tonight, Lord. Marco Barnes and Jeff McCormick with a COVID. We pray for healing upon them, Lord. We pray that, God, you might touch their bodies. You might quicken them. And, Lord, help them, help their bodies navigate this virus and build the antibodies. And, Lord, not go too far so things start getting inflamed and swolled up and infected. Lord, we don't want to see that. But, Lord, we want to see these bodies just respond and kick this virus and get on down the road with it. So, Lord, we lift up Marco and Jeff to you tonight. We pray for these victims of the Colorado fire these last several days, Lord, those that have just lost everything. We pray that you might help them rebuild. We thank you, Lord, that there was minimal loss of life in the midst of all that devastation and fire. But Lord, we pray for that those subdivisions and communities in the midst of those horrendous fires, Lord, there in Colorado. We lift up Miss Alita to you tonight. We pray for her back. We pray you might touch her back, bring healing to her back. Lord, after the surgery that she's had, we pray that you just mend it, Lord, bring it back together. And Lord, just help that scar tissue break up and not be a source of pain or discomfort for her. Pray that there wouldn't be any infection, Lord, and Lord, no secondary issues or any need for any additional surgery. Lord, we lift up these unspokens to you tonight, and we're thankful, Lord, that we can say those things to you silently. We don't have to voice those publicly. But Lord, you know exactly what's going on in the midst of those unspokens, the broken relationships that need mending, those that we're seeking, praying to you, Lord, so that they might come back to church. Those that we're praying for, Lord, that they would receive Christ and be saved. Lord, just all kinds of spiritual breakthroughs these unspokens represent, all kinds of conflict, Lord, that these unspokens represent. Lord, you're a sovereign God, and you have your hand on these things. And Lord, may we trust in you, and may we lay these things down at your feet and thank you tonight for hearing us. And Lord, when we don't know how to pray for these things, may we just hold to the fact that, we know that your Holy Spirit makes intercession. And Lord, we just praise you for that. We thank you for that tonight. Lord, we lift up Miss Sharon to you tonight. We pray for her foot, and we pray that it would continue to heal. And Lord, we're looking forward to the stitches coming out, and Lord, the boot going on, and her being able to receive some therapy and get some strength back in this foot and back in this lower leg. So Lord, we're just lifting Sharon up to you and praying for her continued healing, and Lord, that she would just be able to see now that the end of that tunnel. She's been in it a long, long time, from the car wreck through all this, waiting for a surgery. And so, Lord, we're thankful for her patience. And, Lord, we just pray that you would give her the strength to continue on so that she could see this this healing of this foot through. Lord, thank you for the surgery. Thank you for how it's going so far. We just pray that it could continue to go well. Lord, we thank you for your word again tonight. As we get in it, we pray our hearts and minds will be open. Lord, help us make those connections where we left off as we try to review a little bit before we jump off into some new material in the book of Revelation. We praise you and thank you for this great book, and Lord, what it means, and Lord, what it signals that you are coming back a second time. We praise you and thank you for that. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, all right, amen. We are in Revelation chapter 16. I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God. Revelation chapter 16. I'm going to read here, picking it up here in verse 12, and we'll take it through verse 20. We have been reading about verse 1 as we've been looking at these seven bowl judgments. We've been reading about verse 1 through 12. Now we're going to pick it up at verse 12 and take it on through to about verse 20. Amen?
Amen.
Revelation chapter 16, beginning in verse 12. It's the sixth bowl there. The Word of God reads, "The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river, the Euphrates, and its water was dried up so that the way would be prepared for the kings from the east. And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet three unclean spirits like frogs. For they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the whole world to gather them together for the war of the great day of God the Almighty. Behold, I'm coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his clothes so that he will not walk about naked and men will not see his shame. And they gathered them together to the place which in Hebrew is called Har-Mageddon." Verse 17. "Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl upon the air. A loud voice came out of the temple from the throne saying, 'It is done.' And there were flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. And there was a great earthquake such as there had not been since man came to be upon the earth. So great an earthquake was it and so mighty. The great city was split into three parts and the cities of the nations fell. Babylon the Great was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of his fierce wrath, and every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And huge hailstones, about 100 pounds each, came down from heaven upon men, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, because its plague was extremely severe." All right. Well, we thank him for his word tonight. You may be seated. Thank you for standing in honor of the reading of his holy and inerrant word. May he add his tremendous blessing to it. Now, you remember, we in the seven bowls. This is the last. We get to the end here of these plagues. And we have already covered the first six, actually. The plague of the unrepentant and rebellious sinner. That was verse 2. Of chapter 16. And then we looked at the plague in the sea. That was verse 3 of chapter 16. Then we looked at the plague in the rivers and streams. That was verses 4 through 7. Then we looked at the plague in the sun, verses 8 through 9. The beast is plagued. We talked about that fifth bowl there, verses 10 through 11. Then remember, as we've gone through this, we've talked about the cumulative effect, right? These things are happening in very rapid fashion. Rapid fashion. Coming quick. Don't fade on me, Ron. Did you get you a nap earlier? All right, amen. You slept too long. Amen. All right, the plague in the sun, the beast is plagued, verses 10 through 11. The cumulative effect, we've been talking about that, how these things have come in one right on top of the other, which that brought us to the battle is planned. The battle is planned, right? That's verses 12 through 16. That is that sixth angel, that is that sixth bowl, right? Now, a little bit of review before we continue on into this. We said God's drying up of the Euphrates is not an act of what? It's not an act of kindness toward the kings from the east, but it is actually an act of judgment. And we talked about, as we got through this verse 12, and we saw this verse 13, and coming out of the mouth of the dragon, we talked about this grotesque vision, like something out of a horror movie, that John saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits like frogs. Now, from the mouth, we said, that symbolizes the source of influence of each member of the unholy Trinity. You've got the dragon, which is Satan. You got the beast, which is the Antichrist. And then you have the false prophet, okay? That's the unholy Trinity. Out of the mouth of each of these came a foul, unclean spirit resembling a frog. Preacher, how does it resemble a frog? I'm not quite sure. But we know from the Old Testament that frogs were unclean animals, per Leviticus chapter 11, verse 10, Leviticus chapter 11, verse 41. But these are not, we said as we last looked at this, are not literal frogs as in the plagues in Egypt, in Exodus chapter 8, verse 5. John identified the frog-like apparitions as spirits of demons. And so, you have this graphic illustration. It pictures the slimy, cold-blooded vileness of these demons who do what? They seduce the kings from the east into making the difficult journey to go to their actual doom at the Battle of Armageddon under the deluding influence. They're deceived. They will be deceived. They will be deceived. Now that's a pretty good deception, because as we've looked at the cumulative effect of all these other bowls that have been poured out on the earth, things aren't real rosy right here, right now, right? I mean, you would think this is probably not a time to go to war with everything going on. But these demons, these spirits, these things like frogs coming out of the mouth of this unholy Trinity, they're going to lure these kings from the east, these kings of the world, they're going to lure them to this valley, this battle of Armageddon, right? A part of their deception, the demons will no doubt perform supernatural signs. Now, earlier in the tribulation, what did we see? We saw that the false prophet performed, the Word of God says, great signs, even making fire come down out of heaven to the earth in the presence of men. It's all the way back in Revelation chapter 3, verse 13. As a result, or 13:13. As a result, the false prophet was able to deceive per 13:14, chapter 13:14. So these unclean spirits of demons will work lying wonders to deceive the eastern kings. That these demons will have such powers of deception is not surprising. Why is it not surprising? Because the Word of God predicted it. Who predicted it in the Word of God? Jesus Christ predicted that. Mark chapter 13, verse 22 says, "For false Christs and false prophets will arise and show signs and wonders in order to lead astray, if possible, the elect. So, we said as we looked at this last time, this is where that passage, 2 Thessalonians, which we have quoted often as we've gone through this study on the book of Revelation, we have said this is where 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11 plays. This is where it plays. This is where it comes in. This is how we apply it to the eschatological landscape that we've been looking at. 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 through 11 says, that is the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false. Amen? So, the unclean spirits will have little difficulty in deceiving the kings and their armies of the whole world to gather them together. The mission of the demons is to gather not just the eastern powers, but all of the world's rulers, all of the world's armies, to join the forces from the east for the war of the great day of God the Almighty. Who are they coming for? They're coming for God's people. They're coming for the nation of Israel, right? That's who they're coming for. In their pride, and in their arrogance, and in their folly, the demonically deceived nations of the world will converge on Palestine to do battle with God Himself at Armageddon. They're going to do battle with Jesus, right? Jesus is coming, friend. He's coming. Jesus said, my people, right? And His people are what? Some of His people are saved. Some of His people are saved. Got the 144, right? Preachers, you got the two witnesses, right? You got the angel flying in mid-heaven, sharing the gospel as the earth rotates on its axis, going to and fro. I mean, the gospel has been put out there. People have received the Lord, received the gospel in the midst of this tribulation, and many of them, well, at least 144,000 or more of the Jewish population have gotten it. They're saved. And so, here they are, the army of the Lord. Here they are, the people of Israel. Here they are, everything drawn to a close. And here all these armies come. You've seen those satellite images of the Russians there on the border of Ukraine? You know, talking about what, 100,000? That's a lot, that's a lot. On the border of Ukraine, 100,000 Russian military. Friends, it's going to be a whole lot more than that. Going to be a whole lot more than that. I mean, we're talking in the millions. Where they put them, I don't know how they're going to. I mean, it's going to be trucks and tents and vehicles and weaponized mechanical army stuff for as far as you can see, right? I mean, it's going to be huge. Get it so far? According to chapter 17 of Revelation, verses 12 through 14, the 10 kings will be involved. Joel prophesied of this time in Joel chapter 3, verse 2, Joel chapter 3, verses 9 through 13. Zechariah also wrote of that time. Remember when we started this whole thing over a year ago? Oh, probably close to 2 years ago, you figure in the pandemic and the time we took a break from this. The day of the Lord, the great day of the Lord, is spoken of over and over again in the Old Testament. Zechariah also wrote of this time. Zechariah chapter 14, verses 2 through 3, it says, "For I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city will be captured, the houses plundered, the women ravished, and half of the city exiled, but the rest of the people will not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as when He fights on the day of battle." Lining up with Zechariah, the psalmist wrote. Now, we were in the book of Psalm this morning, Psalm chapter 1. Psalm's a great book. Had a lot in the book of Psalms, amen? Psalm chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 says, Why are the nations in an uproar and the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. This day is coming. The Battle of Armageddon, it's coming, right? Now, how long is the battle? How long is the war? How long is the conflict going to last? Well, when we get further off into this, the war will be over quickly. Revelation chapter 17, verse 14. The conflict will be a slaughter, as Revelation 19, 11 through 21 graphically portrays. And then, in the midst of all that we've covered, in the midst of all that we've covered, right? We're looking at these seven bowls, these seven things, these angels pouring out on the earth. We come to another one of these what? What do we find in verse 15? It's almost like a curveball. Everything's going so good, right? I'm starting to remember where we kind of left off from the last time we studied this, right? And then here comes, it's like a split curve. It's like a two-seam curveball. I mean, what? You got verse 15. Well, what's verse 15? Verse 15 is another parenthetical statement. I mean, we get going. You think you got Revelation figured out, and then all of a sudden Revelation backs up and goes back in time and gives you some kind of summary statement, right? And then you get going again in Revelation, and then you'll have a parenthetical statement. You're like, whoa, Nelly, what's going on here? Well, what's going on here? Here we go. Another parenthetical statement, verse 15. Look at it. Behold, I'm coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his clothes so that he will not walk about naked and men will not see his shame. Talk to his people. Talk to his people. Talk to the people in Palestine, man. They're getting ready for this huge onslaught from all the armies of the world. What's going on? What's going on? Amid all the horrors of judgment, amid all the horrors of deception, amid all the horrors of war, comes a parenthetical word of encouragement to believers. Right here, verse 15. Right here. This gracious word from heaven will come before the pouring out of the seventh bowl, and it assures the believers that they will not be forgotten, right? You know, I think when we get to the end of life, when we get to the end of life, right, we don't take anything with us, do we? We leave a few things behind if we've gathered some stuff, but we don't take it with, right? We are to our families, right? A memory. They hold on to a memory, right? And we hope that our families will not what? Will not forget us. Or our spouses, hopefully, certainly, won't forget us, right? If they don't experience dementia or Alzheimer's, they'll remember us to the very end. Hopefully, amen. Hopefully our children will remember us, right? And our grandkids will remember us. But you know, our great-grandkids, not so much. And their kids, man, you're just a picture on a wall at that point, right? But the Lord never forgets. He doesn't forget you. Friend, He holds on to you, for all eternity. It don't matter what generation past you there is. He still got you. Amen? He still remembers you. He still loves you. He still cares for you. The imagery here in our verse 15 is not that of bridesmaids preparing for a wedding, but of soldiers alert and on duty. Jesus' sudden, unexpected return will bring fear, will bring dismay to His enemies, but hope and comfort to His people. Amen? Behold, I'm coming like a thief. This statement here in 16:15 is a parallel to the beautiful passage in the book of Malachi where the prophet addresses words of comfort from God to the righteous who were frightened by the approach of the horrible day of the Lord. These prophets would talk about the horrible day of the Lord. They're not talking about the first advent. They're talking about the second advent before the first advent happened. There's more about the second advent in the Old Testament than there is anywhere else in the Bible, right? The horrible day of the Lord. And so they're trying to come to grips with their eschatology, with the study of end times. Is the horrible day of the Lord upon us? Jesus is, I mean, God's like, hey, whoa, 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 through his prophet Malachi. He shares this with them, Malachi 3:16 and 17. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord gave attention and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who esteem his name. They will be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I prepare my own possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. God told them not to be afraid because they are his. He never forgets his own. There are similar passages to encourage God's people between the sixth and seventh seals in Revelation 7 verses 1 through 17 and between the sixth and seventh trumpet per chapter 10, 1 through 11, 14. The same kind of deal, same kind of encouragement as these things start to really squeeze in on the earth and start to really bring in judgment. God has this, he has this encouraging thing about him. Amen? Haven't you found that during the pandemic? I mean, things really look dark, look weird, look, man, what's going on? And then there's some kind of encouragement come out, right? From a loved one or from your church or from another Christian brother or sister. I mean, God always, you know, we just try to be faithful. We just try to do what we're supposed to do. But sometimes we get down. Sometimes we get out. Sometimes we get, But God just kind of seems to, at the right time. It's always at the right time. He gives us an encouraging, some kind of encouraging word. And because the bold judgments take place in a short period of time, the pause between the sixth and the seventh bowls is very brief. I mean, it's a word of encouragement. Soak up the good news, and then let's get on down the road with the seventh bowl, right? The word of comfort from the Lord Jesus Christ begins with, behold, I'm coming like a thief. Like a thief comes, Jesus will come quickly and unexpectedly. Now his Jewish people, there they are in Palestine. There they are circling the wagon, so to speak. There they are seeing off in a distance. There they are getting intelligence reports of all the mass that's assembling before them. All the mass that's assembling to surround them. And they're praying, God, deliver us, right? Oh, Lord, we need you now. And Jesus comes quickly and unexpectedly. But unlike a thief, he will not come to steal, but he will come to take what is rightfully his, right? He possesses the deed to this earth. It is his. It is his earth. It is his solar system. It is his galaxy. It is his universe. It's all his, amen? So the imagery of Jesus coming like a thief appears elsewhere in the New Testament. We know this, right? We've studied the New Testament. We've seen it before. Earlier in Revelation, Jesus warned the church in Sardis. He said, if you do not wake up, if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come to you. Chapter 3, verse 3. In the Olivet Discourse, he added in Matthew 24, 42 through 43, therefore be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would have not allowed his house to be broken into. I mean, if you knew somebody was coming tonight to break into your house, Miss Vicki, you would have Bobby there. Amen. Brother, you would be ready. I'd have the phone on 911. All I'd have to do is hit send and say, I'm going to call the cops, back away from the door. I'm going to call the cops, back away from the door. About the third warning, then you just let one go. Amen. Let around go. You're not coming through. As soon as that porch light breaks the threshold of the door, it's on. I mean, it's just on, right? Any red-blooded American, you know, down here in the South, we probably wouldn't wait for the police. We would probably, if somebody was kicking in the door and we knew they were coming, we would call the police and say, they're coming at 10:45. Well, sir, do you know that for you? I know for sure they're coming at 10:45. I'm going to keep you on the speed dial, right? Right? I'm going to keep you. And it would be ready. Amen? And here they show up. And how long is it going to take the police to get there or the sheriff to get there? Too long. Amen? So we would have already. That's not in the message. So let's continue on. Amen. The Apostle Paul reminded the Thessalonians that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. Per 1 Thessalonians 5:2. A truth that the Apostle Peter also affirmed in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. Jesus is sudden. He is unexpected return will bring fear and dismay to his enemies. He doesn't come the second time as a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes in a manger. He comes as the glorious King of Kings and Lord of Lords he is. That's how he comes. It will bring fear and dismay to his enemies, but hope and comfort to his people. And that the exalted Lord pronounces the third of seven beatitudes or blessings in Revelation. In this parenthetical statement, it says, behold, I'm coming like a thief. Blessed, there's your beatitude. Blessed, what does it say, is the one who stays awake and keeps his clothes, right? The first blessed was in Revelation 1:3. The second blessed was in 14:13. This third blessed is 16:15. And there are four more left scattered out through the rest of the book of Revelation. There are seven beatitudes. This is the third one here in this parenthetical statement. This blessing in verse 15 describes those who, like the five prudent virgins of Matthew 25:1-13, will be prepared for his arrival. The imagery here in verse 15, as I've already mentioned, is not that of bridesmaids preparing for a wedding, but of soldiers alert and on duty. And only a soldier, as we enter into 2022, only a soldier who stays awake and keeps his clothes is ready for combat. Amen? Right? Isn't it in Ephesians? Tells us to pray on our clothes. Full armor of God. Isn't that in Ephesians? Yeah. How do we put our clothes on? By prayer. Amen. Sword of the Spirit. Helmet of salvation. Breastplate of righteousness. Right? Am I close? Amen. Somewhere in the ballpark. Right? Only a soldier who stays awake and keeps his clothes on is ready for combat. So, we talked this morning, right? How will we discern? How can we discern? How's it going to happen? I've been looking for these, my eye drops. How's it going to happen? How am I going to be able to discern? The only way you'll be able to discern is by the Word of God. Prayer. Spending time with the Lord, right? Disengaging a little bit more from your culture. Disengaging a little bit more from the busyness of life. Resting more in the sufficiency of the Word of God, the sufficiency of Christ. Those caught unprepared, when the battle breaks, when the battle breaks out, will walk about naked, and men will see their shame. The shame of a soldier is a soldier that is derelict in his duty. Those whom God has clothed with garments of salvation, those whom God has wrapped with a robe of righteousness, those whom God have put on, or those of us that have put on the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be ready when the judgment comes. Amen. We will already be gone by the rapture of the church. Amen. Hopefully we'll have a great seat to see this play out, or a great place to stand and look over and see this thing play out. But we will be ready when the judgment comes. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28 says, "Now, little children, abide in Him, so that when He appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from Him in shame at His coming." Those whom Jesus finds prepared when He returns will be blessed. Well, for us, it won't be the second coming. It'll be the rapture of the church. But we still need to be prepared. Amen? Amen? We still need to be prepared. And how do we prepare? One day at a time, right? How do we prepare? In the Word. How do we prepare? Talking to the Lord. How do we prepare? Fellowshipping with the saints. How do we prepare? Living the will and the Word of God. Amen? Yeah, you're doing it. You're doing it, right? Yeah. You guys woke up now? What you got, brother? Anything? Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Prepared. Well, amen. There you go. There you go, brother. I'm prepared. Are you prepared? Let's be prepared. Let's close it out tonight. You ready? All right. Y'all have a great week this coming week. And we'll see some of you back on Wednesday night as we get back to regular time. And well, I guess we started back regular time tonight. So but we'll see some of you back on Wednesday night. And we'll go from there. 2022 is on. Here it is. Right? It's on. Dear Jesus, we thank You for this time, Lord. We thank You that we continue on in our series of messages on this last book of the Bible, book of eschatology, study of last things, study of end times. And Lord, just give us wisdom and discernment, Lord. We seek to be prepared. We seek to be learned up, Lord, not for a moment of pride, not for a to lord it over anybody else. But Lord, we want to enjoy and worship You for our salvation, but we also want to get the sense that some around us don't know You. And Lord, we want to sense the challenge of that, and we want to sense the enormity of their lostness. And Lord, we want to sense the love that we have for lost people, and we want to sense that we need to make a move, need to sow a seed, need to share the gospel with them. Need to love them to Jesus. We need to help them get on that narrow path and off of that wide road which leads to destruction. So, Lord, that's what Revelation has been for us. We just trying to figure it all out and really, really, we say it, but, Lord, we want to believe it. We don't want to just pay lip service to it, but we want to believe it. You're coming back. You're coming back. Legit, real deal. You're coming back. And so, Lord, we want everybody to be ready for that day. We love You tonight. Give us safety, Lord, as we depart here. Watch over us, Lord. Be with those that wanted to be here, couldn't be. And, Lord, thank You for those that are with us online. We pray that in the midst of this, receiving this through a live stream, that they were able to receive the truth. So, Lord, we praise You and thank You for that. It's in Your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right. You folks are dismissed. Y'all have a great week.